So what I had prepared has left. But I want to ask you a question. Who is Jesus to you? Who do you think Jesus is? And what is he to you? I find it very difficult to present Jesus in this culture. I've got a lot of questions about how the Church of God maintains relevance in this culture and our society. When so many people have abandoned the Church of God because of many different reasons. Some of them have left because they are disillusioned with the formality of religion. Some people have left the church because the true church has never appeased the culture. And some people have left the church just because they wanted to enjoy the things of the world more than they did enjoy the things of the Lord. So, how can you present our Lord Jesus Christ in this culture? I saw a Facebook post not long ago, and it was about a lady. I guess she was a lady. Let me call her a female. That said, I'm looking for a church that won't be judgmental, because I'm living with a man and we're not married, and I want to worship God, but I don't want to be judged. Y'all, that happens every day. So apparently she had been out of church for a while and wanted to get back in, but without laying down what caused her to be out in the first place, probably, I'm guessing. I don't know that to be a fact. So today's church, and there were hundreds of people that jumped on and said, "You can come here. We won't judge you at all." Prominent churches in the area. And I thought of that scripture of the prophet that said seven women will take a hold of one man and say, "We want to be called by your name." because it was a reproach not to be married. They said, we want to be called by your name, but we'll eat and drink and wear our own clothes. Meaning, we just want the vision. We want it to look like we're beyond reproach, but we still want to do what we always have done. Now, folks, I want you to realize that the true church of God is diminishing in this world, not because the power of God is diminishing, but because the evilness and the overtakings of this world are deceiving people to think that God is okay with whatever you want to do. Amen. They want the worldly church, and there is a worldly church that won't adhere to what God set down in his scriptures. They want to dismiss the judgments of God so that they can appeal to the masses. Do y'all see that in your experience? The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place where God is worshiped. And we found out that there's a lot of worshiping going on, but it's not true worship. With the woman at the well at John chapter 4, the past few weeks. He said, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers. So you can be a worshiper, but be a false worshiper. There are people that worship God and they don't know what they worship. You don't have to stand before a wooden idol or fall down to a tree or fall down and or raise up your hands and worship the stars of heaven and the sun to be a pagan. I want you to know that if you do not worship God, the one true and living God, in spirit and in truth, you're an idolater. Because human beings will worship something. They will worship the preacher. They will worship money. They will worship their children. They'll worship their husbands or wives. They'll worship their fathers or mothers. They'll worship the scriptures. They'll worship their beliefs. They'll worship their faith. They'll worship their works. And they might be worshiping all those things with God as part of it, but just like the woman at the well that knew something about God, but she didn't know what she worshiped, there's so many people today that don't know what they worship, but they are worshiping, but they're not true worshipers. The world is full of false worship. I'm going to make that statement again. If you're not worshiping the one true and living God, you are an idolater. Because if you add anything to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, then you are worshiping something else and Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I want you to realize that God is very stingy with His glory. But He's very free with His, and liberal with His grace and His mercy. But He's very stingy with His glory, and He said, I will not give my glory to another. So if we think about all this in terms of today's society, you know, there are people that go to church that just want to check mark the box off for the week. They go and they pay their tithe and they think that they've done God's service. They go to church and they sing with a loud voice, and on Monday they do whatever they want. Saturday night they do whatever they want, and then they come to church to make a great show of religion. And it is a show of religion, but it's not worship. Well, it is worship, but it's not true worship. They're worshiping the thing that they're worshiping the box that they checked off. I did this, and it appeases their conscience to some extent that they've made a fair show in the flesh. Now, folks, I want you to think about what God means to you. Because if that's all that God means to you, then you're an idolater. If all that God means to you is the thing that I'm just going to come and on Sunday morning and make a fair show, then God doesn't mean anything to you. Jesus Christ is vanity to you. Because His blood has not changed anything in your mind. You don't regard Him as being important. And today's culture doesn't want to regard Jesus Christ, because there are some things contained in the worship of God and in His Word that would tell them that what you're doing is wrong. It insults their lifestyle. You know, God will get in your face. God will tell you what you're doing wrong. He'll tell you how to remedy it. He'll tell you that following Him is hard in this world, and there are some things that He will not appease. You remember when King Saul, God told him to slay, to leave nothing alive of the Assyrians. And when he went in there and conquered them, he kept the king alive. And he kept the oxen and the sheep so that he could sacrifice to God. God didn't tell him to do that. And when that man of God, Samuel, came up, he says, and he heard the oxen lowing, or they were, and he says, what meaneth this lowing of the ox in mine ears? Why am I hearing that? Did not God tell you to slay everything, man and beast, of the Assyrians? And Saul's excuse was, no, it was a justification. Saul justified his actions by attaching it on to something that looks good or sounds good. He said, the people did that because they wanted to sacrifice to God. That sounds good, don't it? God said, I never told you to do that. You know, a lot of people will justify their actions and attach it on to the worship of God when God never sanctioned it. And I'll tell you folks that God is serious about His worship. He's serious about how it's done. He's serious about when it's done. All the time. Not just on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. It should be the driving force of your life. Not just on Sunday morning. If all God means to you is gathering together on Sunday morning to worship, then He doesn't mean very much to you. You have counted the blood of Jesus Christ of none effect by your traditions. Just like He told the Pharisees. Remember that? If God doesn't mean more to you than that, then your faith is in vain. So how do we view God for our own lives? What does it mean to us?
Only one Savior.
Only one Savior, brother. That's right. But who is Jesus? You know, a lot of people...
Son of God.
Amen. He is the Son of God. A lot of people have varying ideas about who Jesus is. They think that Jesus is just a friend. And He's presented in Christian churches as such. So-called Christian churches. I use the term loosely. Those that gather together on Sunday morning and name the name of Christ. And they present Jesus Christ as your friend. And He is that. But He's oh so much more. Who is Jesus Christ? I mean, there's some very mega, there's a lot of mega churches out there, and the pastors of those congregations that really don't even talk about Christ much. They just talk about how He can benefit you. That if you believe that you'll have many riches and things is going to go real well for you. All about what Jesus can do for you. What is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What is He to you? He is our Savior. Jesus Christ. He is so many things, isn't He? First of all, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want us to remember that Jesus Christ, though He wasn't called Jesus, they didn't call Him Jesus until after His birth. But He is the eternal Son of God. In the Old Testament, He's called the Lord, the Word of God. John said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is the second person in the Godhead. He didn't just come into existence when Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's always been and he always will be. But who is Jesus? Is he just your friend? No. He's more than that. I want us to read in Matthew chapter 17. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Who is Jesus? Who am I? Who do men say that I am? And they said, they responded to him and said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." So there was confusion about who Jesus was even then, wasn't there? Some said, "Oh, this is Elias," or the forerunner of Christ, Elijah. You know, they said that the spirit, a prophet would come in the spirit and power of Elijah. Some thought that he was Elias or that prophet. Some thought he was John the Baptist. How in the world could Jesus be John the Baptist? They weren't one and the same. They were both together on the day that John the Baptist baptized him. Some say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets like Habakkuk or Isaiah or Jeremiah or some of those other prophets. Micah. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" You know, there's a lot of people that believe Jesus is what they've heard people say Jesus is. Y'all get that? Some people have never really answered that question for themselves. Jesus really demands an answer. Whom say ye that I am? Who is Jesus to you? Not who you heard he was. Who is he to you? People go their whole lives worshiping someone that they've just heard about but haven't had a personal relationship with. They've never considered Jesus. They've never considered him, who he was and who he is to them. I want you to consider this man Jesus today. Who is he to you? "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that was the right answer. That was the right and correct answer. And in this statement that Peter declared, in this confession, and that's what it was, this is a confession of who Jesus is. "Thou art the Christ." What does Christ mean? That means the anointed one. That means the Messiah. That means the one whom it was prophesied all in the Old Testament that should come and deliver his people. You are the deliverer. the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That meant you are the one that was to come into the world. You are the second person of the Godhead, the Son of our Father, the existing one, Elohim. God goes by a lot of, they called God by a lot of different names, and there was one name that they wouldn't even speak because they considered it them their own lips unworthy to speak that name. The Jews did. Did you know that? They wouldn't call God his name that he called himself. I think it was I Am. They wouldn't even use that name because they didn't feel worthy to even let their unclean lips utter that name. They held it in such reverence. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's a lot of dead gods out there, but Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Now, that's who he was to Peter. I want you to consider who he is to you. Blessed art, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon bar Jonah." I'm going to let you in on a little Bible interpretation or way to what this means. Bar means son of. When you read that in the scripture, it meant, so basically what Jesus said was, "Simon bar Jonah," when he said, "Simon, son of Jonah." When you read bar in there, it means son of. "Simon bar Jonah, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee." What Jesus has just told Simon, Peter, that, and he recognized that he was the son of John, or bar Jonah, he's flesh. But flesh and blood did not reveal that he was the Christ to him. I can preach to you who Jesus is, but until he's made himself known unto you and revealed himself to you, I can't reveal him to you. I can't open your blind eyes. I can't unstop your deaf ears. God has to do that. There are many people that think Jesus is a lot of different things in this world, in churches. Some think erroneously that Jesus Christ came to make salvation possible. That's not who Jesus is. Amen. Some people preach Jesus that he loves you and he wants you to be rich in this world. That's not who Jesus is. He does love you. He loves his children. But he doesn't necessarily want you to be rich in this world. Actually, it's the opposite. He said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven." So he says, flesh and blood, that means I can't reveal who Jesus Christ is to you. Jesus, the Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to Simon that he was the Christ, and the Father that's in heaven reveals it to every one of his children when they confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So he calls him blessed. And I'm telling you, if you know that, you are blessed. If God has revealed that Jesus is the Christ, and you know that, then you're blessed. You're blessed. And, that's not it, Jesus says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter.
Yeah.
What does Peter mean? Uh-huh. It means a little stone. A little stone, just like a little piece of gravel. And upon this rock, that's not Peter. Peter's not the rock. Peter is just a fragment. The rock that Jesus is talking about building his church on is the revelation that he is the Christ by the Father, and the confession by Peter and by everyone that does confess that he's the Christ. I tell you what, that's how the church is built. That's what it's built upon. He said, I'll build my church. And I want us to notice, whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. Now you're a part of it, and because you are a part of it, you can lay claim to it and say that it's mine. It's my church. But not in terms of being the owner of it, or in possession of it, that it's your possession. It is your possession because it's part of your inheritance. But I want, you're not the Lord over it. So people say, Paul, what's going on at your church? I always stop them and say, it ain't my church. It's the Lord's church. And they all know what I mean. They say, yeah, I get it. But I'm talking about the church that you pastor. I was like, yeah, that's a better way to put it. It's not mine. I'm not lording over it. The Lord lords over it because he's Lord and it's his church. It's his church because he bought and paid for it. It's his church because he established it. It's his church because he sustains it. And it's his church because he will deliver up the kingdom to the Father. And he's going to declare unto him, here am I, and the children, all the children which thou hast given me. That's beautiful to me. So this church is built not only upon the revelation that Jesus is the Christ by the Father, by the Spirit, but also the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Y'all notice that? If you just have a lot of people that have a revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and have no confession, the churches wouldn't have much, would they? The churches wouldn't be that strengthened, would they? You'd just have a lot of people out there, and that's the case we got today. There's a lot of people out there that are born of the Spirit. They've been revealed that Jesus is the Christ by the Father, but they're not confessing exactly who he is. They're not confessing all about this Christ. Oh, they believe he's God's Son, but they don't believe what he was sent to do. Or they have a misconstrued understanding of what he was sent to do and who he actually was and what he actually came to do and what he actually accomplished. My friends, Jesus Christ was sent by God to save his people from their sins. When the angel gave Mary that prophecy and that declaration, when he declared it to her, he said, for thou shalt bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for, or because, you're going to call him Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. The angel didn't say, you're going to call him Jesus because he's going to die and present his blood so that whoever wants it can go to heaven, and he's going to make salvation possible. And possibly nobody will ever be in heaven with glory, because if he just made it possible, it's possible that nobody will be there. My friends, Jesus is not the Christ, the Creator, with God in the creation. He's not a weak God. He's not a God that's to be trifled with. He's not a God that just comes and makes things possible. He comes and does things on purpose, doesn't he? And his purpose was to seek and to save, not to make salvation possible, to them that are lost. To seek and to save them that are lost. You ever been lost? You ever been in a waste howling wilderness? I lost my brother one time, and you know what happened? I mean, he got lost. And you know what? I found him. He didn't find me. I found him. He was the one that was lost, and I found him. And you know what he was doing? He was sitting on a stump, bawling his eyes out, afraid because he didn't know where he was. And you know what I did? Because he didn't know how to get back, I led him back. I took him back. And when we got back, he rejoiced that he wasn't lost anymore. Now friends, he was my brother before I found him, and he was still my brother after I found him. God's children were his children before he found them lost, and he was still their children after he found them. God came to set his people free. God gave him his people. Isn't that a recurring theme throughout the Bible? He calls them his people. He shall save his people. That tells me that he's got a people from their sins. That's what he's going to save them from. That there's a lot in that verse, isn't there? He shall save them. That means that it is an imperative that he save them. It's not a wishy-washy that he just presents it out there, and he can't do it unless you let him. My friends, that is a weak God that is only as strong as your decision. And that's not the God of the Bible. That's not Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible. By God's Word. I don't understand how men that are sincere, I think, in their worship of God, And in their reading of the Word, I don't see how a sincere person that is born of the Spirit can read this Bible and think that God is that weak. I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me when thousands and thousands of Scripture declare His supremacy over flesh. And thousands of Scriptures declare His glory and His power and His sovereignty. I don't get it. I don't. Jesus to them must not be, they must not understand how God declares Himself in this Word. I don't understand it. The only way I can understand it is that they're like a bunch of lemmings. You know what a lemming does? They run in a herd. And they jump off a cliff. Did y'all know that? Y'all study about lemmings. When they get afraid, they all start running and they jump off a cliff altogether. That's strange, isn't it? It's a mob mentality. Just because one person believes it, oh, that must be right. I'm going to go with them. And if more people believe that way, the masses must understand what's real. But I want you to know, friends, when Jesus Christ preached, Multitudes followed him when all he did was show mercy and heal their sicknesses and feed them. And that's the reason why they followed him in multitudes, was because he fed them and healed them. But when Jesus started preaching the hard doctrine of his truth and said, "You, unless ye eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you." Then they started to say, "Will this man give us his flesh to eat?" And there was a division among them, and they all in the multitudes all went away because they were hard sayings. And then the disciples were left after the multitude said, "Well, I can't deal with that. I'll just leave." And Jesus again asked them, "Will ye also go away?" And Peter again stands up and confesses, "Where would we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life." You're telling us about this eternal life and we want to hear more about it. Where would we go? Peter says, "If I didn't want to hear more about this, I'd just go with the multitudes, because it was a hard saying." And my friends, you want to know what we got in our situation and culture today? We've got multitudes going away because of the hard sayings of this book. They can't deal with it. They don't know who Christ is. They have all kinds of ideas about him. They don't want to hear that he's a God of justice. You know, people really don't want justice. Oh, they say they do. But not the kind of justice before a holy God. They don't want that kind. Because if they cried for justice, their sins would be found out and they would be destroyed from the presence of God forever, were it not for Jesus Christ's blood. You don't want justice. Justice, all justice does before a mighty and a holy and a supreme and a sovereign God, says that you're guilty. That's what justice says. Do you want justice? I don't. You know what I want? I want mercy. I want mercy. And people now today think that they think that God is so weak that he can't do anything unless you let him. Then they cry, many people on TV, "Justice, justice now. We want justice now." But they really don't. They might want justice before the courts of this land, but they don't want justice in front of the courts of God. Who's Jesus to you? Is he the one that procured justice on your behalf? If he is, you've gone a long way in understanding who he is. If you believe that and you can declare with that publican that said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," then you've gone a long way in understanding who Jesus is. If you can do like Peter and say and declare and confess that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, you've gone a long way in understanding who Jesus Christ is. If you think that Jesus Christ died for your sins, and were it not for his sacrifice to an offering to God and God's acceptance of it on your behalf, that you had nothing to pay and Jesus paid it all for you on your behalf, then you've gone a long way in understanding who Jesus Christ is. If that understanding has come to you, then what you need to do is fall on your face and thank God in heaven and worship his holy name today, because you know more about Jesus Christ and who He is to you. And if you believe that and you haven't been joined the church and you haven't become baptized to identify yourself with the one who paid your debt, then there's something lacking in your life and you need to do it today. Because if Jesus really does mean that to you, then what shall you render to your God? If you don't fulfill all righteousness, then what you're saying is, you're spitting in God's face and saying, I don't deem what Jesus did to be worthy of my baptism. I don't deem what He did worthy. Because I'm not going to be baptized, or I'm not going to walk in His ways. You're spitting in His face. And you're counting the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Or an unworthy thing. Unworthy of your walking in it. But oh, if you know more about Jesus, if you understand those things and who Jesus is, then you're not going to count His blood an unholy thing. You're going to count it a holy thing, and you're going to count Him worthy and what He did, His act, His sacrifice to God on your behalf, worthy of your walk with Him every day, worthy of your dedication to worship Him and learn more about Him and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going to count that worthy, and you're going to walk worthy of that calling. May God bless you, is my prayer. Doors of church are open for reception of members. Should any have the understanding of who Christ is and a desire to walk worthy of Him, may God bless you, is my prayer.